the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. How's your day going? It's 503-733-2970. Why, let's take a magical trip back in time, shall we? Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
You sound fantastic.
Well, thank you. You're just saying that. I bet you say that to all the broadcasters.
No, you do. You know, you sound fantastic. All the demons in my head are gone.
Thank you. I sound fantastic without being accompanied by three or four other simultaneous fantastic voices that are coming inexplicably over the phone.
And if you want, I did isolate some of that sound. Oh, shoot, where'd it go? Hold on a second.
And okay.
I can play for you a little bit of
thank
what
you.
It sounded
you,
like.
The voices in your head.
That'd be great.
All right, here we go.
I can
see your point on that.
I couldn't be happier to be
So that's what everybody was hearing when they tried to call it. Fantastic.
That was our conversation, right? That was you and me actually on the radio, but that's what I was hearing.
Jesus, God Almighty. Hey, Jeff McGinley from CBS Radio Engineering. What was causing that?
Yeah, don't know.
If it was a gremlin on the wing of the plane, you can just tell me.
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
Got a sledgehammer. He's off now.
Good God Almighty.
Straight flying from now on.
Hey, it's going to be the best Friday ever. All right. Well, I was going to make some point about blah, 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 blah. I was just going to say that we talk a lot about healthcare in the show.
Yeah.
But I've really lost interest in the whole thing by now. I'm just going to say that because old people have a lot of clout and they're just angry all the time and they're mean. And if they can't fix the healthcare problem in this country, if like a legion of angry old grandmothers can't fix it, it doesn't really seem fixable.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who question whether it's fixable, that's for sure. But, you know, angry old grandmothers don't own the healthcare system. They may be really mad about it, and they may have some retirement money they can throw around, some of the wealthier ones. But, you know, the people who are really deciding this are folks in their 30s and 40s that are writing these policies for the pharmaceutical companies and for AARP, in fact. Some of their lead folks are younger, maybe in their 50s or 60s, but... You know, I don't know. I think there is so much money involved that no matter what's right and no matter what works best, the fact is that the capitalist system is really driving this. And maybe not even just the system as much as one segment of that system that has a lot of power in Washington.
Let me just move on. Do you know that Jim Roop is at the Playboy Mansion today?
I love that story.
Okay, here's the thing. I love that story, too, if only were able to hear it or to have him tell me about it anyway. This is great. You will appreciate this. No, I don't believe we've ever discussed, nor is it any of my business, how you were raised in a religious sense. But I will say this, that Jim Roop, like all of the people on the Rick Emerson Show, well, we're all fallen Catholics. He's actually still a practicing Catholic, I believe. But he spent all day at the Playboy Mansion, and I swear to God now we're not able to talk to him because he's spending the rest of the day at church. So there you go. So there's sort of a great yin yang for you. So I'm going to try to track down some sound bites.
Are you able to hear that story?
I'm hoping he actually filed the sound on the CNN website.
He did. I mean, I could play it for you now, but you guys can just look it up and play it whenever at your leisure.
So he did file. Good. That's good because he was really the idea of Jim Roop. The idea of Jim Roop at the Playboy Mansion is really. I mean, he's a great guy. I really do dig it, but he is sort of a misfit in some ways, like all of us.
Yes.
And so the idea of that guy strolling around Hugh Hefner's place is fantastic. So I think we're going to try to hunt some of that down.
Hey, you guys should be on that. Yeah, that's good stuff.
All right, I'm going to let you go back to your regular day, and I hope things function more smoothly than they did here.
Yeah, I feel like I've done no good, just mayhem. That's all I've done.
Well,
mayhem and frustration over healthcare.
And that's typically our job, is the frustration and mayhem, but that's okay.
I feel so odd.
All right, Lisa, I want you to enjoy your weekend, flush this whole thing out of your memory, and by Monday, you'll be back in your bed in Kansas.
Okay.
All right. Enjoy your weekend, Lisa.
All right, ciao.
You go. Fantastic. All right, there you go.
See, everything's good now.
Yes, I suppose. Okay. There you go. All right, I'm moving past it. I'm putting it in my rearview mirror. I'm putting it behind me now. Let's see if the phones are fixed. It's like four minutes that we might as well just begin the news hour now because we never have enough time for it anyway. And I think that was a signal from God that we're just supposed to move forward. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please gather around the wireless and prepare to take heed from and learn from? No, take heed to. Pay heed to. Hi, Steve.
Time
thank you.
For the Rick Emerson Noon News
God Almighty.
From AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, here's the Good Friday message from the Vatican. It's only for the ladies. It says,
Stop behaving like men. A top Vatican clergyman is urging women not to behave like men while trying to assert themselves into society.
Take off your pantsuits.
Now, women should avoid attempts to maximize differences between the two genders. The preacher and the papal household noted women were not responsible for the death of Christ, and that Christ's female disciples followed him not because they saw power, because they believed in him. Meanwhile, two Florence women trying to enjoy a lovely sunset near the sea lion's cave ended up falling nearly 100 feet down the steep rocky hillside above the Pacific Ocean.
No.
No. Despite warnings, these two ladies stepped over the rock wall to enjoy the view. Big mistake. Neither remembers what happened next, but they wound up at the bottom of a deep hill.
I'm guessing they fell. I mean, call me Encyclopedia Brown.
So much for the sunset.
Yeah.
The rope rescue was called, and so was an ambulance. Took 3 hours to hoist them back up. Authorities say alcohol was a factor.
It's not hard to believe. Where was this at? Was this here?
Florence, Oregon, on the coast.
All right, fantastic. All right.
Meanwhile, we have this 81-year-old Portland woman who killed her 89-year-old male companion, and she's going to prison. For 18 months.
Why would you bother to kill him? How long could it take him for him to die? It's got to be just a matter of weeks at any given point anyway.
Well, no, he died quickly because he was the size of a jockey. And,
understand.
He's the size of a jockey. Or was when he was alive.
Now?
Apparently, she followed him to a Target store, and then when he got out, well, she wailed on him. That was
I don't understand anything that's going on. Okay, so there's a woman in this story.
Yes, there is.
She's how old?
81.
She killed her romantic partner?
Yes.
He was how old?
89.
Again,
she was mad because he failed to visit her last September.
What? I don't... Really?
Yes.
Okay.
You know how old people are. They're mean.
So did he finally come
to visit? They're mean and apparently forgetful since this happened, you know, in September.
Mm-hmm.
That's 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Seven.
Well, did she just suddenly wake up and just realize that happened, or...
Well, this took some planning.
He
doesn't go to Target very often, apparently. What does he need?
Or did she get really angry and plan to murder him last September and then just kept forgetting about it?
That
kept getting distracted by looking for her spectacles. So, she followed him to a Target where?
Let's see, in Portland. Doesn't say which one.
And then, quote, wailed on him?
Yes, he suffered a fatal blow to the head.
Well, how many blows? He's 89. His brain, his head's like an eggshell. How many blows could it really take? Did she beat him to death with her tiny little angry old woman fists?
As a matter of fact, it says she battered him to the point of bruising 3 times before this.
So, they didn't even live together?
No.
So whenever she, I mean, okay, whatever. So there you go. So as I said to Lisa was laughing when I said that old people were callous and mean. This is the proof of it right here. All right, well, now he's dead. And he was the size of a jockey?
Yes.
Does it say that in the story?
It certainly does, yes.
In what context?
I don't think Tim would make that up.
But I mean, in what context?
I could if I put some effort into it.
Perhaps he was a diminutive man, but
it's Good Friday. I'm taking things easy.
What is the context in which they say that the man was the size of a jockey?
He said he was the size of a jockey.
I understand. I guess what I'm saying is, under what pretext did they squeeze that sentence into the story?
What is the typical size of a jockey?
I don't know the answer to that, Sarah. I would
probably about 5 feet tall, I would imagine.
Are jockeys small or big?
Small. They have to fit on the horse. It says here, witnesses said she charged out of her car and started hitting Carr, a former jockey, roughly the same size as Ward. So she was about the size of a jockey, too, so this is pretty fair.
It did sound like they were evenly matched.
Jockey on jockey violence.
All right.
Are there any more questions about this story?
So many, but really they can't be answered by anybody in this room. It's all just wildly theoretical at this point. All right, excellent. Thank you.
Don't eat any pet snacks made by this company in Ferndale, Washington. Now they're recalling these. The brand name is American Cannabis. Snack name is that?
Pizzle.
Don't feed them Pizzle puppy foods.
Because I was planning on it. I was going to go to the store right after I bought a big bag of wrap snacks.
And these are made by a company called TW Enterprises.
Okay.
And it's also... could this be possibly true?
I don't understand. Well,
could be cross-contamination in people, especially small children.
Don't feed Pizzle snacks to your tots, please.
Even though it's Easter.
I don't even... I don't understand anything that's going on today.
These are weird stories, aren't they?
It's a strange day.
It's a day before holiday.
Something weird. There's something weird in the air today. There really is. All right, so try to avoid feeding puppy pizzles. I swear to God, that's what it says.
That's what it says.
To your children.
All right. A B bull puzzle pizzle. Well, this is hard. Maybe this could be a new sponsor once they clean up their act. A B bull pizzle puppy and dog chews.
All right. Once the product stops killing people, perhaps we'll send an AE over. We'll send Alan Gabrowski to talk to them. All right.
Then they'll invite us over to eat some. Yes, it is Good Friday, and according to this story, in most English-speaking countries, most stores are closed for the day, and advertising from television and radio is withdrawn to some degree.
But not here.
But not here.
We're callous heathens. We don't care.
Mm-hmm. In Germany, public dancing is illegal for the day, and the bars are closed in Ireland, and in some English-speaking countries, they eat hot cross buns for some reason.
Was Jesus crucified on a hot cross?
And
hot crucifix buns. That's what it says here. That's like a Karnak the Magnet. What do you get when you sit on a hot cross?
And there's no horse racing today in the UK.
All right.
Which is hard for them.
Why do they eat hot cross buns again? I don't even know what hot cross buns are.
I don't either. It's not the song.
What is a hot cross bun, Tim?
It looks like they're buns with a cross across them.
Are they round buns or are they
crossing? They're they look like triangular buns.
Cross across them.
The triangular cross buns.
Rectangular cross buns with triangles on them. I'm sorry, with crosses. Let's start this whole program again.
This really is turning out to be a pretty fantastic day.
Excellent. And by the way, you're only supposed to have one large meal. And then a smaller and a regular meal after that.
According to whom?
A Wikipedia.
You're reading about Good Friday off of Wikipedia?
Who else knows more about Good Friday than Wikipedia?
Oh, you mean for Good Friday, not just in general?
Right.
I'm supposed to be eating one large...
I'm not a
Catholic anymore. I don't even know why I care. I'm supposed to be having one large meal today and then what?
A smaller one and then a regular meal.
Okay, I'll get right on that.
Well, that's America anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so enough of that. Let's switch gears here into a battle watch.
All right, here's your battle watch for whatever the hell for Good Friday.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
Those British naval personnel captured by Iranian forces after entering their waters illegally, so they claim, are speaking out. At a press conference today, Lieutenant Felix Carmen said each of them was subjected to physical and psychological pressure by their captors. My pot's down.
Throughout our ordeal, we faced constant psychological pressure. We were stripped and then dressed in pajamas. The next few nights, we
were
in stone cells, sleeping on piles of blankets. All of us were kept in isolation.
And given a stuffed animal.
So you were given blankets and pajamas.
Mm-hmm. Piles of blankets.
Piles of blankets.
But it's cold in Iran at night, apparently. Lieutenant Carmen said the Iranians interrogated them almost nightly.
We were interrogated most nights and presented with two options. If we admitted that we'd strayed, we'd be back on a plane to the UK pretty soon. If we didn't, we faced up to 7 years in prison. We were kept in isolation until the last few nights, when we were allowed to gather together for a few hours in the full glare of the Iranian media.
The Royal Navy ship was clearly within Iraqi waters.
When taken by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard, we were well inside Iraqi territorial waters. The detention was clearly illegal and not a pleasant experience. We as a group held out for as long as we thought appropriate. We then complied up to a point with our captors.
You know, and the funny, because he's British and he uses that accent, every time he says pajamas, I just want to insert the word bananas right before it. People with children know what I'm talking about.
Captain Chris says the Iranians lied to them repeatedly.
We were sort of under the impression that we were going to be sent to the embassy and probably be released. However, there was a lot of trickery and mind games being played. And
then there was a lady, Faye Cherney, the only woman aboard ship. And she was told everyone gets sent home except for her.
She was separated from us as soon as we arrived in Tehran and isolated in a cell well away from any of us. She was told shortly afterwards that we'd all been returned home and was under the impression for about 4 days that she was the only one there.
And they Dick Cheney, who's peeking over the bushes watching you right now, is criticizing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's trip to the Middle East. During an interview with Rush, he lashed out at Pelosi, saying, the president is the one who conducts foreign policy, not the Speaker of the House. Well, we know that isn't true anyway.
I think it is, in fact, bad behavior on her part. I wish she hadn't done it, but she is the Speaker of the House.
See, here's the thing, is that George W. Bush didn't frighten me at all. I in no way, he's just too dumb to be scary, and I think we all know that that's true. Dick Cheney scares the hell out of me. Dick Cheney is completely and totally unnerving. Dick Cheney's a guy who would just come and just have your spine slowly pulled out with no and he'd sit there watching the whole thing in an armchair in the corner of the room, unblinking like a toad. That man has no soul. He's pure evil. You can tell he walks among us like a brain-eating zombie. Let's see. Subject under this email is, what? Seriously, what? What the hell is going on in there? It's just confusing. What are you people doing? Best show ever. Seriously, what the hell is going on? I don't know the answer to that, sir. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the man charged with protecting us from terrorist attacks tells Sky News he's worried that the Britons could mount an assault on our country.
The Britons?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Brits.
Could mount an assault on our country.
That's right. Michael Chertoff, the head of Homeland Security, said the U.S. needed further protection.
From the British?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, apparently he's afraid of the Muslims there, that they're going to come over here.
Oh, I see. All right, not to... Okay.
Well, British Muslim, they're still British.
Okay, well, no, that's a fair point. I guess I was just picturing the guy in the blanket pile again. All right.
No.
Okay.
He said the U.S. was not hysterical, but not complacent against the terror threat, and claimed the enemy was focused. The anti-terrorism chief also defended plans to check all 10 fingerprints of visitors to the U.S. He said it was the best tool against terrorism and denied it's the next step in taking DNA from passengers.
Do they only check some of your fingerprints now? That's weird. All 10 fingerprints? Do they not check all 10 fingerprints now, or do they check
not
like
sure.
Your thumb? What is the theory that, like, you... Is the theory that you could kill somebody and, like, just have their thumb in your pocket or something when you come through? What would be the point?
Just to make traveling miserable. I mean, who wants to travel anymore anyway?
Well, that's the thing.
They destroyed the travel industry.
It's true. I will say this, actually, that they have succeeded in making me no longer want to travel. I used to love flying.
Yep, me too.
I used to love just going to the airport, getting on a plane. You get on the plane, you're in one state. You get off the plane, you're somewhere else. No more. No more. Now it's a chore. It's an ordeal. I'd just rather stay at home and grow fat and complacent, which I'm sure fits in perfectly to what they're planning. So they really have had the desired effect. I no longer even want to leave my home. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Martha Stewart is visiting Kazakhstan. Yes, for real. She's going to watch a friend of hers blast off to the International Space Station.
From Kazakhstan?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where they blast off, apparently. So there are things going on there. An old friend of hers named Charlie is a software engineer and developer for Microsoft. He paid about $25 million for a 13-day trip to the International Space Station. He'll lift off tomorrow aboard a Soyuz space capsule with two Russian cosmonauts.
Oh, I see. So this isn't a space capsule made in Kazakhstan.
No.
Just picturing some sort of...
Can you imagine that?
Like an aluminum spool just wrapped in wire.
I mean, a donkey kicking it into space with its back feet.
That was just a giant catapult. Just a giant catapult just throwing some guy wrapped in a ball of tin.
Something out of an old Laurel and Hardy movie.
Landing right in the moon's left eye.
Well, apparently these two are speculated to be romantically involved. Let's see, she's in the town of Blikonur, which is a collection of worn concrete buildings amid the barren, endless Kazakhstan fields.
It sounds like a dream vacation. I know where I can go for my second honeymoon now.
But there's going to be a gourmet meal served there to celebrate Cosmonauts Day.
What do you think about a gourmet meal in Kazakhstan? And how sad for that country that now, whether it's true or not, we all just view them through the Boratic prism of Sacha Cohen. What do you suppose a gourmet meal in Kazakhstan even consists of? And it's just a series of bombed-out buildings in a barren wasteland?
Well, it's like any other former place of the old Soviet Union.
Or St. John's.
Yeah.
All right. Well, excellent. There you go. Well, enjoy your romantic getaway, kids.
Our teachers accused of quieting kids with clothespins. Here's a new idea. A Central Ohio school district won't be using one substitute teacher again after officials said she used clothespins to silence four chatty kindergartners. They sent a letter out to parents about this teacher. Apparently, she's been permanently suspended. What happened was unfortunate. And the punishment isn't one the district supports in any way. They also plan to report the substitute teacher to the Ohio Department of Education. That'll ruin your life. Apparently, Okay. These kids were talking. She told them to shut up. They wouldn't. She took out the clothespins and clothespin their lips together.
I have no idea what I would do. This is.
Are you kidding?
I don't even really. Was it a? Does it
the clippy ones.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking like safety pins for a second.
No, they won't hold still for that. I tried.
No,
they always.
They might scream.
They squirm. They squirm too much. You can't. I have no idea what I would do as a teacher. That's another like reason number 575. You could never get me to work as a teacher in this country. You know, I mean, because. It's not like I'm a big fan of authority figures, but I mean, little children are just bastards, and if you can't get them to shut up, what the hell would you possibly do? Well, I don't even understand, and I don't want to get into a whole discussion about what goes on in American public schools, but I really don't understand what teachers in schools now do if kids just are obnoxious and refuse to do something. I mean, you can't just clock them on the side of the head.
That'd be good.
I mean, I suppose it might be effective, at least. I don't really know what you can do if a student is obnoxious now. It seems like it's just like a whole lot of nothing. So, yeah, that's yet another reason on the endless list of extant reasons not to become a teacher.
Well, it's the beginning of the end for The Sopranos this weekend. Sunday night, the HBO award-winning mob drama will air the first of its final 9 episodes. The star, Tony Sirico, who plays Polly Walnuts, says the show will wrap up just the way it should.
I'm a fan as well as one of the guys on the show. And a lot of things come down and you'll understand as you see it. But it was all right. Look, every good thing got to end.
You know, that guy, he's the real deal, too. I think he went to jail for armed robbery. That guy, Tony Sirico, or whatever his name is, yeah. And I'm pretty sure that he was, I think he was actually like a connected guy, sort of, I don't know, 30, 35 years ago or whatever. But he's a felon. He's a guy who's done real time. He's terrifying, that character of Paulie. That's a guy who
He just is crazy.
Oh, he's completely creepy. He would just kill you just as soon as look at you. Didn't in the last season, they beat some old woman to death that lived with his mother at the retirement complex or something? It's all very unnerving.
Mm. Well, the star Lorraine Bracco shares what she has enjoyed the most about her character, Dr. Jennifer Melfi.
I loved it because I felt it was a role that when she was a woman he's never really met.
Imagine
and
living
never
with
worked
that.
With and never, you know, and she held her own, and I think he was very attracted to her because she was so much smarter than him.
When are you going to take me to Miami?
The neighbors down the street have a fur coat. Let's see. Who wants to hear a creepy email?
Me.
Me.
Subject line, this is from a man. Reasons I teach? June, July, and August cleavage. There you go. There's your creepy email. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the Sopranos star Frank Vincent, who pays Phil Leotardo, says he isn't getting sentimental over the end of the show just yet.
It's going to be all over soon. This is the beginning, though. This is the beginning of the season, so we're all excited about that. And then as the show premieres, you'll start seeing, you know, we'll start feeling bad about it going away. But it'll never go away.
I'm pretty sure that this is Phil Leotardo is the same guy who is in Goodfellas. It's amazing. You go back and you watch, we talked about this last week, you watch a lot of those Scorsese films, and a lot of the Sopranos actors are in that. There's sort of there's sort of an Italian character actor guild or something those guys must all belong to, but the Phil Leotardo guy...
That's putting it mildly.
Why, whatever are you saying, Tim?
Nothing. I'm saying it's a fine social organization.
Of sanitation workers.
It helps the advancement of many.
It's a fraternal organization for like-minded members.
Yes, it is.
But I think if you watch Goodfellas, that guy who plays Phil Leotardo, I think he's the same guy that Joe Pesci beats to death in the bar and that they then stab in the trunk on the side of where they think he's dead, and then they stab him in the trunk and then they bury him and then they got to dig him up later. He's that guy in the bar that tells Joe Pesci, go get your shine box. I'm pretty sure that's him. And they're all just so freaky. I mean, those guys, Phil Leotardo's another one of those guys. He's the guy in The Sopranos that is he is the head of the New York family while John Sacramone is in prison, and he's the guy who beat Vito to death in the hotel room or whatever, and he's just a terrifying guy.
Sharon Angela, who plays Rosalie April, says the cast would never reveal specifics about the final 9 episodes.
You're ruining what someone else might... You know what I'm saying? Like, you go see a movie and they tell you the end?
Yes.
So, no, we didn't have to sign anything. I mean, but you knew. Don't. And you didn't want to.
Or else.
Yeah. We've got this. Rick, I've been hearing rumors of a secret Beastie Boys show tonight in Portland, Oregon. At some old business called Richard's Housewares. Have you heard anything? Dave and Wiesel is Milwaukee. Sarah, you heard anything about a secret Beastie Boys show happening tonight?
No, but I'll get right on that.
All right. Yeah, I got nothing. It's 503-733-2970. What is line two here, Scotty? Oh, I see. Really? Okay. Hi, Pete. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, I'm no school teacher or anything, but I think in reference to the cleavage, he's talking about the space in between two things, and June, July, and August is the summertime.
Yes.
And so the space between the two school years what he enjoys.
Yes, I'm sure that's exactly what he's talking about. God knows that no male teacher would ever write in and make some inappropriate comment about the clothing that his students wear during the hot summertime months. No way would he.
He doesn't get to see them during the hot summertime
months. No, here's the thing. The students you see during the hot summertime months are troubled students. Those are the special students. Those are the girls who have to come back for summer classes. And those are the girls who wear the lowest cut shirts. We all know that this is true. I went to school with a lot of those girls, and I went to supplemental classes with a lot of those girls, and those are the Luann Hill types that all wear really white, really tight white wife beaters. We all know that that's true.
You're right.
Thank you. Yeah, it's true. All right, that's Pete. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Former First Lady Betty Ford has been hospitalized. No, not at the Betty Ford Center. She's a bit too old for that. This time at the Eisenhower Medical Center in Rancho Mirage, California, following surgery for an unspecified condition. A hospital spokesman says Mrs. Ford underwent the procedure earlier this week and could not provide any details on just how serious her condition may be or how soon she may be released. This follows the death of her husband, President Ford, last December. Meanwhile, back to the story. We told you about this yesterday, that house in Washington State that was gutted after somebody posted a hoax on Craigslist. Homeowner Lori Ray says she recently evicted a tenant and cleaned out the rental home that used to be her mother's house.
Where? Tim Riley.
Ray believes the ad was placed online by somebody holding a grudge against her and conned people into vandalizing that home. Well, now the police have been called in. Detective Gretchen Ellis said the police will petition Craigslist for more information about this.
We have had a number of different things happen with Craigslist in the past. Prostitution-type activity, rental scams, fraudulent activity. And actually, Craigslist is pretty cooperative, but we do have to go through the necessary channels.
Yeah, to be good. Your tenants will screw you every time. Isn't that true, Tim?
I keep mine, and I keep them happy.
You keep them happy with, never mind. Just wrap it in duct tape. It'll look new.
I have people to take care of these things.
Yes, it's true. You have people to go pay them a visit and make sure that everything's smoothed out.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
This is Cameron.
Hi, how can I help you, sir?
Hey, there is Viso in Milwaukee, by the way.
Well, I know that there's a 7-Eleven in Milwaukee that has it, because I've been there.
There's also a fine veterinarian on Linwood and King Road that sells Viso.
A veterinarian?
Yes. I took my fine pooch in there the other day, and I noticed that they had it. I tried it and loved it.
I don't understand. What kind of a veterinarian are you going to that has a convenience store? Well, it is Milwaukee, I suppose. But I mean, what is there, like? Is there like a store or something inside?
No, it's just like a little thing you can get Starbucks.
Like a little
refrigerator.
Like a kiosk thing.
Right. Correct.
Excellent. Fantastic. All right. Thank you, Cameron.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Have a good
one. There you go. Let's see. Our good friend Diana downtown. Hey, sister. What's up?
Well, do you want to know the lovely dinner that Martha Stewart will be dining on in Kazakhstan?
Oh, that's right. Now, you do have experience with this. So what is it that she's likely to be? If you go to Kazakhstan, what is it that they're going to serve to you?
Well, they're very fond of horse there. So she's probably going to have...
They're very fond of whores?
Horse.
You're thinking horse. Of the movie.
Yes. Well, I mean,
you know,
my mind just goes that way. Yes. Okay, horse.
Okay, so she's probably going to enjoy head of horse. Maybe some sheep's feet. My personal favorite was the boiled horse intestines, which have a lovely texture, like old rubber bands wallowed around in. Well, if you took a horse and rode it 3 days and put it away wet,
it is.
And then killed it and wrapped the boiled horse intestines in it, that's kind of what it tastes like.
And welcome to the lunch hour, everyone. Thank you.
And, oh, and don't forget the fermented mare's milk, the natural, sparkling, refreshing beverage of Kazakhstan.
What is it called?
Let's see, it's fermented mare's milk. Well, there's Shabbat, which is fermented camel's milk, which sticks to your mouth more.
I don't want to drink any milk that sticks to my mouth.
Well, don't go to Kazakhstan then.
Yes, done and done.
All right.
Thank you. There you go. That's Diana. It's the milk that eats like a meal. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Yeah, that Beastie Boys thing is supposedly going to be taking place on North Mississippi Street tonight.
Really? Now, why?
You know what it's for?
Why would the Beastie Boys be in Portland tonight?
I have no idea. But it's, there's a, if you go to portland.metblogs.com, there's an entry in there which says this guy walking around North Mississippi noticed Old Richard's Housewares, the lot. Has privacy fencing up and a security guard. Also, there are porta toilets in the back. After asking around, I learned that there may be a private event occurring there this evening or Friday.
Interesting.
And the performers are the Beastie Boys.
Interesting. So
how bad would that be?
Now, private, I wonder if that's for like, is that for like a company, do you suppose? Like, like invite-only things for like corporations and whatnot?
Yeah, that's where he got the, he just asked different businesses on the street, and they all seemed to say, yeah, the Beastie Boys are going to be playing.
That's weird. And so that's, theoretically speaking, that's tonight then.
Yeah, at this place called Old Richard's, Richard's Housewares.
All right, cool.
Richard's Housewares.
Excellent. All right, thanks for the heads up.
Yep.
All right, that's David. Okay, cool. So there
we need to find out what business that is.
It's 503-73. Well, that's where all the money is. You get those performers that do, like, command performances at companies. Like, there was that Bob and Jacob Dylan did, like, back-for-back performances at Apple a while back. And I think Bob Dylan got, like, $1.5 million, and Jacob Dylan got, like, $250,000 or whatever. And
I hate that guy.
And he just got flown in. He played for, like, 45 minutes. Bam, done. Here's Tim Riley.
So they may be introducing a new spatula or something.
Yes. Yes, it's a spatula. Somebody really ought to open that spatula city. I would totally patronize such a business.
Meanwhile, hundreds of tourists and nearly 400 crew members were safely evacuated after a Greek cruise ship ran aground next to an island.
What's the matter, you? No, that's Italian. I'm
that's
trying
Italian.
To do
it.
I was, what would a Greek... I was trying to do like a Greek... I was picturing, like the angry mustachioed Greek man looking down over the railing of the ship at the island where he ran aground and being angry and cursing it angrily. But what came out was my bad Luigi sort of, you, why I hit the island? I don't even know what a Greek accent sounds like.
That sounded more like a pirate.
He's an Italian pirate.
Well, here's the problem about this cruise ship that was sinking. The passengers didn't know that the ship was taking on water.
Bam.
They were expecting an alarm if there was a problem. We heard a big shudder, and then the whole boat started to tilt. All of our glasses were sliding everywhere, and our warning that the ship was sinking was of the staff running down the corridor, screaming out life jackets and banging on the doors. So we got no time to sort of get ready or anything. We just left as we were.
That's got to be a good feeling. You're sitting there in your room, and the actual staff of the boat is running down the hallway screaming. that'll aid with the slow and safe exiting of the ship. Fantastic. I love the news. I really do. All right.
I do too. That's why I make it my business.
Rick, I believe that the slogan for the Kazakhstan milk company is "It's the stringiest." All right. Yeah, fantastic. What did stringy milk even come
Let's
from?
Let's not even reflect on that.
I don't even remember where
it
the origin...
Like goats or like some kind of stringy thing. I don't remember.
All right.
Some goat-related diet.
I just love the idea of a milk sticking to the inside of your mouth.
Everybody does.
Sort of a glue type thing. Did you guys ever actually know anybody who ate glue? Did you ever know any paste eaters?
Yeah, I knew like that paste that had the little stick in it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
It's like the tub of paste, and then it had the orange top.
What did you, like, grow up in? Did you go to a one-room schoolhouse?
No.
Did you have an inkwell, too, to dip your pigtails in?
You don't remember that? It was Elmer's, like,
was it like a special
paste?
Arty, was it like for art nerds or something?
No.
Here's what I remember.
It was the regular paste.
No,
it had, like, a little thing inside of it that was like a popsicle stick.
No, that's not the regular paste. The regular paste comes in the squeezy thing with the orange
that's
top.
That's blue.
Right, but what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Yeah, it's like craft paste. Like, I had it my entire childhood.
Like, so that must be just like an art thing. Because the regular Elmer's glue, which is just for paper on paper,
no,
comes
everyone
in a squeezy
thing. I swear, I'm going to find a picture of it right now.
All right, I don't really know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Because they always talk about, that's one of those things that they always, there's like gum chewer, mouth breather, and then paste eater. Paste eater is you can sum up somebody who you went to school with who is not all that bright by referring to them eating paste. But I was wondering if it's a thing that people actually did. If anybody, I guess they didn't really make it to, they did put that it was dairy-based.
The school paste.
I've never seen that.
Real, that's all that I used when I was younger. That's all everybody used. And I remember a kid who would eat it like it was a
popsicle. Oh, really?
So there's like a little popsicle stick, and then you'd take the stick and you'd wipe it on, you know, the paper or whatever you're trying to glue.
Well, it's because, don't they actually say, I may be wrong,
it was delicious.
It was tasty. Don't they, on the front of this, the front of Elmer's glue, didn't they actually put that it was dairy-based? Doesn't it actually say... I'm pretty sure that on the front of that squeezy Elmer's glue, which is the only kind I ever had, maybe I was just too messy to be allowed to have the tub, but I'm pretty sure that they actually noted the glue itself was dairy-based, which is makes you think that it's sort of healthy until you realize that's just because it's boiled down horse hooves.
It's just a safe, non-toxic.
Yeah. I
just have a cow, so maybe that's why you thought it was dairy-based.
And that's creepy, too, that there's a cow on the front of the Elmer's glue. You don't really put that together when you're a kid. And it's a big, friendly-looking cow. He's like the blue and white. And you don't really put it together. It's because they've killed him and they've boiled him in a tub.
Eat this glue. It's delicious.
When you eat paste, you really are just eating bits of cow hoof.
When you eat paste.
When you eat
totally
paste, you're
a
jet
eater.
All the way. I was not a paste eater. I was not a paste eater.
Maybe you should try it now since you never tried it before.
I'm not going to try it now. I was not a paste eater. They also introduced that glue, that Elmer's Blue Gel glue.
The glue stick?
Now, see, you went to school in some weird place where they had different types of adhesives.
You know, I think you're crazy.
I'm not talking about the glue stick. I didn't have that. I'm talking about the blue Elmer's Glue Gel. You know what I'm talking about.
I've never heard of that.
It's, maybe I went to a strange place. Maybe I grew up in some weird sort of test market. So,
yeah,
no,
you were in Kennewick.
Here's some things I didn't do. I didn't eat paste. And how else? I will be very, because it's the lunch hour, I'll be very delicate about this. I did not eat anything that came out of any of my orifices. I'll put it that way. You know.
Well, that's a positive.
You always sit next to that kid in class. It's like two knuckles deep into his nose.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about. I never did that either.
But you had a better upbringing.
That's what I'm saying. All right, here's Tim Riley.
On sale today, the May issue of Playboy magazine. And the cover story? A tribute to Anna Nicole Smith.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that means, is it on the stands now?
Yes.
Well, any writer should have gotten that
A
already.
10-page pictorial inside asserts Playboy showcases some of her most stunning Playboy photos from over the years. This is a collector's edition featuring personal anecdotes and vignettes. Told by the Playboy editors, photographers, stylists, and staffers. Playboy TV will honor Anna with Playboy Remembers Anna Nicole Smith, premiering April 12th. And to complete the homage, Playboy.com will post an exclusive video commentary from Hugh Hefner on the life and loss of Anna Nicole.
Well, I don't know why that hasn't arrived. That's on the stands. And then they just rushed it out or something, because I just got the new Playboy, and it's not that at all. All right, well, not
it's the May 2007 issue hitting newsstands today.
All right,
maybe
well,
it's a special issue. It says here, collector's edition.
That, yeah, it must be a sub. I wonder if I get that as a subscriber. I wonder if I, because I would actually...
customer service.
I'm so pissed at myself for throwing away the Playboy that had her 1994 Valentine's Day spread, which was just fantastic. All right, well, in any event. Let's see, Rick, please do not expose my identity. The Beastie Boys are here tonight for Widening Kennedy.
Oh, bastard.
They are playing the Witch Wings that we'll never get in.
Yeah, we'll never get in.
Oh, I think it's your 20th anniversary.
They're here for the Widening Kennedy Founders Party. This from an inside source.
Yeah, there's no way.
No, yeah, we'll never get in.
Maybe.
That.
No. I don't know. You want to try?
No. No. So I got. I'm doing something. I'm going to Roger Klein at the Crystal tonight anyway. But and I'm not. You know. And I. No. I don't want to. No.
You don't want to go.
No. It's not.
Don't bring it up again.
No. No, because if I tried and then couldn't, I would just feel like an ass. We don't. I mean, I know this may be hard to believe, but it's not really. We're not really very successful at getting into places by mentioning that we're us. We basically have to go like.
We can't even get a TV station to approve a story that they wrote by saying that we're us. Like when we called K2 and I tell them who we are.
Oh yeah,
get shunned.
We're calling from the Rick. Hello. Rick Emerson is calling. Hello? We have to just say that we work next to KUFO. That's the only way we can get anything done. You know, we work with Marconi. Come on. Hello? And then they'll return our calls. Trying to use our own names to get into the Beastie Boys would not work. And then I would just feel like more of a loser than I already do. And Roger Klein and the Peacemakers are at the Crystal tonight. Rick, you're thinking of Ogloo. Sarah is talking about, I'm not thinking of Ogloo. I'm thinking of, I can't believe we're having this discussion, but I'm thinking of Elmer's glue, which comes in a squeezy thing with the orange top. See, he says, Sarah's talking about the paste they give kindergartners. It's in a similar container as rubber cement where you remove the top and there's a stick to smear the paste around.
I made it our MySpace picture just because.
He says, people used to eat it because it tasted like mint, or so I heard. Stop looking at me, he says.
It did smell really good.
The glue?
It smelled like it was almost edible.
Why would
it
they make
kind
glue?
Of frosting-y.
You ate it, didn't you?
No.
You ate paste to see what it tasted like.
I did not.
You have eaten paste.
You know, I can't tell you.
A little paste.
I can't tell you either way because I really don't remember if I ate paste or not.
So now it's gone from you didn't to you can't say.
No, it's not that I can't say. I don't remember.
You can't
remember
say
that
definitively.
It smelled good.
So you can't say that you didn't eat paste.
I don't think I would have eaten paste.
You've eaten paste.
I don't think I have. I don't know.
It's 503-733-2970. Joe, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Well, listening to your paste story and hearing Tim Riley talk about vignettes.
Yes.
Actually, that was the Playboy story, but I came up with a solution for Scotty J's spelling problem.
Okay.
You should have Tim Riley pronounce the words for him.
Well, at least they'd be phonetic then.
Yeah. Then it would be a lot easier for Scotty to spell vignette if he heard it. The Tim Riley way.
It's learn to spell the Tim Riley way. That sounds like one of those like book on tape infomercial products that they would have.
And as far as paste goes, I think you were the one who went to the funny school, dude. Everybody used paste.
Okay. I guess maybe I'm conflating or confusing two things. There's this weird tub with a stick in it that Sarah's talking about.
It is not a weird tub with a stick. Everyone had it.
Why would they give that to kindergartners? You can barely stand up straight without peeing yourself when you're 5 years old. You can barely walk upright.
What was wrong with you when you were a child?
Yeah, I just think they're confusing paste and glue. They're similar.
What is the difference?
But they're two different things.
All right, Mr. Smarty Man. What is the difference between paste and glue?
Okay, glue is more runny. It's more liquidy. And paste is more, is less liquidy. It's more stickity.
So what is... I guess what I'm saying is, what is the practical difference between the two in terms of application, in terms of how you use them?
Because paste, you know, I'm pulling from my kindergarten years here, but paste is a lot easier to control. You get that little stick that Sarah's talking about, you just put a little dab of paste where you want it, but glue smears everywhere and runs all over, and it's a kindergartner's nightmare.
So if you were less skilled, they gave you paste. If you had less coordination...
Don't even.
Glue required a more dexterous touch.
Glue is more runny.
What the hell was that? In the name of God, what a weird day.
Well, that'll pop up on the wire later.
Police say he was on the phone with a radio DJ when killed.
The logging truck had the right of way.
Rick... blah, 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 paste glue, blah, 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 paste glue. Let's see, Rick, about Roger Klein. Oh, Mike D, not from the Beastie Boys. Mike D from I Can Lick Any Ass to Be in the House, is opening for Roger Klein tonight with his band, The Loyal Bastards. Fantastic. Let's see. Rick, the paste-eating cruise ship passenger from the clip you just played was complaining about not being warned early enough about the ship running around and taking on water. Doesn't it strike you that if the crew had had any advance notice they would be hitting a rock and sinking, they wouldn't have hit the rock in the first place? We truly live in an idiocracy. Thanks for the great show. Must be because it's got electrolytes. Signed, Marcel. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970.
Oh my God.
God damn, it's 35 after. Okay, we come back. We've got Tanya Harding news when we get back. I'm looking at the screen here. We've got numerous paste-eating calls, which I guess should surprise no one. Attention, advertisers. You too can attract this paste-eating demographic. We got paste versus glue calls and somebody with Tanya Harding news. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Coming up later on, we'll talk to Aaron Geek in the City Duran about Grindhouse and our good friend Fatboy joins us from the Court of Fatboy Show on KUFO to throw down some sort of Transformers-based challenge to me. Rick, this email says, glue is much more toxic than paste. The little people really like to eat whatever they happen to be working with, and paste makes it more difficult for them to die a horrible death. All right. I just remember this one girl. I won't use her name because it's a very, very unique name. I guess that's redundant. If something's unique, it can't be very unique. Anyway, she has a very unusual name. I've never really known anybody else have the same name. But she was the only person I know, and she wasn't so much a paste eater as she was just a flat-out glue eater. And she would use that thing just like it was like nursing off of like a baby bottle.
Oh, wrong.
Oh, like it's so much better to eat paste out of a tubby thing.
Okay, nursing off of a glue bottle is disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Paste, at least, it has kind of like a spoon contraption.
That makes it better. You sound overly familiar with this. So it was minty, you said.
I don't know if it was minty. I remember that it smelled really good.
Why would they make paste taste like something good? That doesn't even make any sense. Why would they take something that you're presumably, even if it's not going to kill you, that you're not supposed to be ingesting, and make it smell and presumably taste delectable? Tim, what kind of paste did you have at that fancy prep school you went to? Or did they just give you nail guns?
I don't remember paste.
Really?
No.
You just held things together with baling wire?
Like I do remember Elmer's glue, but it was in a different type of container.
All right, that's what I'm talking about. All right, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, jurors have decided that men run over by a backhoe are not entitled to damages from the John Deere Tractor Company. Apparently, Pedro Pineda was working as a laborer for Ed's Plumbing and Construction Company when he tried to catch a ride on the 7.5-ton backhoe and fell. The tractor's left front tire rolled over him, and he was dead instantly.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but he tried to catch a ride on a backhoe?
That's right.
Did he try to leap onto it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Don't try to leap onto anything heavy.
Well, apparently, they argued that warnings about passengers should have been posted on the tractor in English and Spanish. There is a warning on the backhoe cab that reads in English, never carry riders, but witnesses testified the dead man spoke and wrote English proficiently.
So, the moral is try not to leap onto heavy construction equipment.
I mean, of all the things to catch a ride with, probably the backhoe should be your last choice.
Well, then where is it you're trying to go that you think the backhoe is going to get you speedily? You know what I mean? It seems like, you know, just walking is probably going to be like three times. And you have the added advantage of not being, you know, dead at the end of the whole thing.
Well, it's big and has lots of room. Why shouldn't it take passengers?
You'd be amazed at how big the trunk is. Let's see. Mary, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick, I listen to you guys all the time, and I cannot believe I'm calling you about glue and paste.
Have you ever called us before?
No.
Do we have the long-time listener, first-time caller computer thing?
I don't think. No, we lost that
years ago. All right, well, thank you for calling, Mary. What's up?
Okay, I used to teach kindergarten, first grade, and I had paste eaters all the time. And it would get to the point, there were certain kids, I had to take the paste away from them, because they just eat it.
I mean, now, I don't mean to do...
And it didn't smell like mint, but it did have a really nice smell to it. But these kids would just eat it. The kids would also eat Play-Doh.
Oh, no, I knew kids who ate Play-Doh.
Yeah, and so it's kind of that same smell. But these guys would just, they'd eat it. And I finally would have to take it away from them.
Now, how do I put this? I mean, are
they were not retarded, Rick.
I'm not asking if they were retarded. Were they retarded?
No, they weren't. No,
I mean, I guess...
All different types of kids, the smart ones, the dumb ones, they would... A lot of them would eat paste. It was just bizarre.
I guess my question is, and I have to ask this just very bluntly, are some kids just stupid? Is that why this is? Because really, I mean,
No, all sorts of kids would eat it.
I mean,
it's just bizarre.
If it doesn't taste good, is it that it has a nice creamy consistency to it or something?
A new one does.
Yeah,
the old one where it dries out, it doesn't. But the new ones, it's kind of like Sarah said, it's kind of like frosting to them.
Interesting.
The old ones are like really thick and it did look like frosting, and it smelled really good.
All right.
Yeah, it did. That one other quick thing, you're right. The glue bottle, there is blue gel glue.
That's what I'm saying, and I remember that was just as I was leaving the glue-using era of my education.
That was to slow it down. Like the guy said before, the kindergartners would use paste because they could control it better, and the blue glue was so it wouldn't come out as fast.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much. Mary, thank you. How long have you been a listener?
Oh, gosh, since all your stations.
Really?
I was thrilled when you guys came back on the air.
And to think that it finally took paste eating to get you on the phone.
I know. Amazing.
Well, Mary, spread the word. Thank you. There you go.
Bye.
That's Mary. Fantastic. Okay, now I'm going to put the phone on hold. Look at that. She hung up, and the line went blank.
It's a good day.
Well, I'm glad we made it through that first
hour.
Did
I hear you and Jeff McGinley talking in the bathroom about the phones?
Yeah.
Because I can hear you through the walls.
Really?
Kind of creepy. Yeah.
Great. You can hear us through the walls?
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
What else can you hear?
I couldn't hear anything.
Do you hear any of the bathroom noises?
No, I didn't hear any of the bathroom noises. But I just thought it was weird that you were having that conversation in the bathroom when you guys were both.
I didn't want to. And look, I'm going to get rid of the news here in a second. Then we got Beastie Boys info, this Tanya Harding thing. God damn, my nose is just... I try never to have conversations with people in the bathroom. I go in there.
See, and I thought that you didn't, but that's why I heard your voice. I'm like, why is he talking
to someone
in the bathroom?
It's like a cone of silence thing. I go in there, that's a no talking zone. You do like a hey, or hey, how's it going? You know, and you pass each other. Or just like a jerk of the head, like, hey, dude, you know that? The silent hey, dude. But I don't have a conversation with people while you're, because it's just weird. You know what I mean? It's just strange. And it's not like it's some weird blah 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 sexual thing or whatever. It's not, had nothing to do with that. Like about a weird like apprehension about that.
Why would it be a sexual?
I'm saying it's not some weird like bizarre homoeroticism. It had nothing to do with. It's just like, you know, that's your time for me. That's, you're in there. You're there to get the job done. Maybe you're there. You know, it's a moment of respite from the world. That's what you're there to. You know, to take care of your business. And also, it's just a... You know what the bathroom break is? The bathroom break is all... This is why I take all my post-it notes and everything into the bathroom with me, even if I don't have to use the bathroom at about 10:30, because it's just a nice, like, two-minute break from the world. You duck into the bathroom. No one speaks to you. You don't talk to anybody. It's just a nice little momentary, like, stepping out of... off the roller coaster for a second, then you get back in. I go into the bathroom just now during the break. Jeff is in there already using the facilities. I walk into there, and he's like, so, how about that phone? They're working out for you? And I'm like, yes. Yes, fine. Okay, so, that Lisa Goddard problem shouldn't happen again. The phone should be working fine. And I'm like...
I heard you talking quite a bit. I heard a lot of yipping.
I had to answer him, finally. I couldn't be rude. I didn't want to be a dick about it, so...
Okay.
All right, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Happy birthday to the Twinkie. They were invented on this date in 1930. This bakery executive, James Dewar, came up with the idea for Twinkies when he decided to make use of shortcake pans that were normally reserved for strawberry season. The original Twinkies contain banana cream filling. But that was after changing to vanilla during the banana shortage of World War II. They never changed back. Twinkies each contain about 145 calories. They're 4 inches long and 1 inch wide. The treat's mascot, Twinkie the Kid, first appeared in 1971.
You can get the banana Twinkies right around now, though. They all
are they in season?
They're revolting. They're revolting as well. And when is the last time anybody in this room had a Twinkie?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't even remember.
Really, I hate to say this. They are ass. You go back and you have any of those Hostess foods now, and I used to love Hostess stuff. I'm a trashy kid. This will disgust you. Hey, Tim, this will surprise you least of all. Because, of course, as we've said, and it has nothing to do with individuals, it's something about being a board op or a weekender that makes you loathsome. I don't know what it is. It's like when you stop having that job, you become normal again. There is something about being a weekender that turns you into a disgusting person. Do we all agree?
Yes.
Tim and I were both weekenders.
So I was a weekender. No. I was a weekender. And I was disgusting when I did it. When I was a weekender, I was hideous. You know what
what it was mostly? It was just depressing.
Yeah.
It was the worst thing ever to sit there for 7 hours listening to reruns of Tom Likas, no offense. Like, while it's sunny outside and all your friends are out riding bikes.
And you're making $2 an hour.
Oh, man.
Just sitting there going, hope I don't get sick.
and trying to clean the studio after all the other people have touched it. And
so I would go in when I lived in Spokane. I was a weekend board op, and so I was the lowest of the low. And I was at an oldie station that also ran, I think, WSU games or something. And so I would go in. Imagine how depressing this is. Sunday morning, it's nice outside. You're sitting in the basement of an oldie station board hopping some sporting event from WSU. I mean, just want to kill yourself. Do you know what my breakfast was when I would go in to do my weekend board op shift? I would stop at the convenience store. I would buy a box of 12 Hostess old-fashioned donuts. Full size, not the mini ones either. And that was my breakfast.
Oh, those are the ones with the powder that sticks to everything.
No. You're thinking of the powder donuts. These were just like cake donuts.
Oh.
I would buy a box of 12 Hostess cake donuts, and that was my breakfast. And I would eat all 12 of them in like an hour. Why? Because I was a hideous board op. I was a weekend board op, and I was disgusting. Let's see. Bob, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick, I just wanted to confirm that BC show tonight.
So they are playing a private show for Wyden Kennedy?
Yeah, the Wyden Kennedy thing.
Weird.
Actually, I'm working as a bouncer, and I might be able to help you or Sarah out if you want to show up.
I would have to pass on that regardless. Even if I was inclined to do that, I can't because yeah. Again, I'm going to see Roger Klein tonight.
I'm not doing anything.
Well, there's some rumors of an after party. That's I wouldn't be able to get you into
Sarah's eyes just lit up when you said, though, maybe I could get you in to like a 1,000-watt light bulb within each of her sockets.
If you want to come down, just ask for Baba Booey, and I can probably help you up.
Now everybody in the audience is going to come down and ask for Baba Booey.
Yeah, in cluster style.
Okay.
Please?
Stop. Done. Thank you, sir. All right. Let's see. Cox, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Man, I was falling asleep. What's going on? People are deeply, deeply stupid, and that's why they eat paste.
It is true.
Okay. Let's see. This is the Tonya Harding thing, right? I was at my house. I walked outside. My neighbor was drinking a beer with a couple blonde women and some little kids running around.
When is this? When did this happen?
This was about a month ago.
Okay.
Yes.
And I walk over there to have a beer with my neighbor.
Okay.
And I look to my right, and there's this short little blonde lady, and inside I'm laughing hysterically, going, "Holy crap, Tonya Harding is at my neighbor's house drinking a beer."
Now, was it really Tonya Harding?
Oh yeah, because a few days later I walked over. I was like, "Dude, was Tonya Harding over here the other day?" He's like, "Yeah, she comes around every once in a while."
Now, is she bigger still?
She's a short and stout person, yes.
More of a mailbox or more of a fire plug?
How would I explain it?
You know.
She just looks like she eats a lot of Burger King.
It's a terrible thing to say. Okay.
But I was going to say, next time, her Jeep's over at my neighbor's house right now.
Of course, where?
The last couple days, I look over and I'm like, "Is that Harding's Jeep?"
Really? So you are, by your reckoning, how many feet away from Tonya Harding right now?
Right now, I'm at work, but this morning,
all right,
probably, I don't know, 15 yards.
Okay, seriously.
So Tonya Harding's Jeep was there all night long?
They're not there. I think they're out doing something. But yes, it's been parked there for about 3 days.
You know, we've been trying, like the Dickens, as they say, to either get Tonya Harding on this show or to one of our listener events for about 10 years now.
You know what? I could possibly help you out with that.
Now, see, if you were able to secure the presence of Tonya Harding either at this show or at the listener party, you, sir, would have a place in the Rick Emerson Hall of Fame, and we would, as they used to say, we would make it worth your while, my friend. We'd let you wet your beak.
Would you let my band play?
What is your band?
Pitchfork Abortion.
Oh, I know you guys.
I love this audience. We're the Tasty Fetuses.
That's a different band.
Well, we'll talk. We'll talk. We'll have speaks, as they say.
Because all I got to do is wait till he comes home, ask for the number. I can say that I listen to a show that... Did I say that?
No, I had to bleep that. No.
Okay. Had a thing for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. And I can probably get her to listen because you guys are big fans, and it's always good to have local names.
All right. Well, if you can put her in touch with us, if that comes together, we'll owe you a huge, huge favor at some point.
All right. Sounder.
All right. Thank you. All right. I think somebody's a little drunk. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, it looks like Don Imus has got himself in a little bit of trouble. After using a derogatory term to refer to members of the Rutgers women's basketball team, the topic came up the day after the Scarlet Knights were defeated by the Tennessee Lady Vols in the national championship game.
Does it rhyme with riding bikes?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Awesome rough girls from Rutgers, man. They got tattoos and hardcore hoes. That's some nappy-headed hoes there. I'm going to take that.
Damn.
Man, that's some...
Okay, that's not really the term at all that I was expecting to come out of that guy's mouth. Really? Did he say that?
Well, let's go back and find out if he really did.
Awesome rough girls from Rutgers, man. They got tattoos and hardcore hoes. That's some nappy-headed hoes there. I'm going to take that down.
Christ almighty. Maybe he and Newt Gingrich can run for president and vice president together.
He compares the girls from Rutgers and Tennessee.
The girls from Tennessee, they all look cute, you know. So, like, kind of like a, I don't know.
And white, apparently.
Yeah. The Jingaboos versus the Wannabes. Yeah.
Wait, what did he say?
Let's play that. Jingle Boos versus the Wannabes. Yeah, that movie that he had.
The Don Imus Show, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus, God almighty. Well, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. There's really no way to comment on that, so we'll move forward. Let's see. Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi there.
Rick.
What's up?
We shall move on, shall we not?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, well, really, what observation can I possibly make? It's like having, you know what that is? And look, and I'll say this, I do love the Don Imus Show. I really do. I mean, Imus, less so now. But I think, you know, even like 8, 9, 10 years ago, I was a big Imus fan. But I got to tell you, sometimes on that program, because that's not the first time that those guys have done stuff like that. It's like, I don't know if anybody, this has happened to anybody else, but I mean, I got the trashiest family, and I've talked about that a lot. But it's like, I would be, we'd be at Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner. And, like, one of my grandparents would just get, you know, one too many bottles of Jack Daniel in, and suddenly just out would come just the most vile, hideous comments about people. And this is, I don't know if this happens to anybody else, but my grandmother would just uncork some hideous racial observation or something, and it's like, I remember being 14, 15, 16. And I would have, you know, you maybe have like a friend over or maybe a girl you were kind of seeing or interested in over. And like either my dad or one of my grandparents would be there just drunk as the day is long and just make some horrible observation about someone of a different race. And it's like you are just praying at that moment that something had that a piece of Skylab falls out of the atmosphere and kills all of you instantly. That's kind of what the Don Imus Show is like. Don Imus is like hanging around with your drunken racist grandfather, never quite knowing when the next little gem is going to fall out of his mouth. Anyway, what's up, brother?
Well, there's something that, you know, I always call into your show with a bit of info that no one else seems to have that I just would love to share with you.
We'll see. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, you were talking about the glue and the paste thing, and I don't know if anyone called in to tell you the reason why kids instinctively eat it. And the reason is because it has milk in it.
Now, see, as I'm saying, when on the Elmer's glue, it does say a dairy-based product, or at least it used to.
Yes. In fact, if you look at the glue bottle, I don't know if it, you know, obviously not being in school for such a long time, but there was a picture of a head of a cow.
Yes.
It was made by Borden's, which is well known for their milk products. So milk is not the big ingredient, probably one-third of the paste in the glue that you find, the liquid kind that comes out of a little bottle that kids use for cutting and pasting and so forth. And the reason for that is because it, you know, obviously it has milk in it, and kids instinctively will look at that and think, looks like milk, tastes like milk, I think I'll eat some.
One taste of it, fine. I don't understand going back and second and third. You'd think this, the first time you had that in your mouth, you realize it's not really any kind of milk that you'd want.
No, and it's not something you want to put on your graham crackers in the afternoon either.
All right, we're done. All right, thank you. That's Kevin. All right, there you go. I'm just thinking about a mouthful of glue and graham crackers. Thanks for that. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Bye. I was cut off guard. Hang on just a minute. Oh, did you know that Hilary Swank is starring in a new supernatural thriller, The Reaping, in theaters today?
The Reaping?
The Reaping in theaters?
Wait, the Reaping. No, there's a joke there, The Reaping.
Mm-hmm. She plays a Catherine Winter, renowned expert on disproving religious phenomenon, who meets her toughest challenge to date in a small Louisiana town. The town appears to be suffering from biblical plagues, but Catherine can't use science to explain what's happening. In this scene, Hilary Swank lectures on how she logically and scientifically explained what some people thought was a miracle.
Deep well injection. That's what it's called when a factory drops hazardous waste down a dry oil well, the fumes of which has the dual effect of preserving human tissue and, if inhaled, creating intense hallucinatory effects. Throw in a population economically deprived enough to believe in almost anything, you've got yourself a miracle.
Oh, this sounds terrible. That sounds like the worst movie ever.
I'm totally going to go see it.
Let me understand this.
Do everything you can to miss it this weekend.
Is she a professional debunker who suddenly realizes that there may actually be something supernatural happening?
Yes, and it takes place in a small Louisiana town.
Really, I'm amazed. I'm stunned. It sounds fantastic.
And Richard Gere is starring in a dirge called The Hoax. It opens today. It's based on a true story. He plays Clifford Irving, the writer who almost pulled it off, the most outrageous story in history, or so they claim, in his so-called biography of Howard Hughes. In this scene, Clifford Irving, played by Gere, is told by his editor, played by Hope Davis, that the latest novel is not going to be published.
30,000 copies is not going to do it. A short run like that, it sends out a message, and it's not a good one.
We're not publishing the book.
Exactly. With 30,000 copies, it's like we're not really publishing the book.
Brad Silver at Life magazine hated it. He called it a third-rate Philip Roth knockoff. And he told Harold, and it was awful. It just rolled like a snowball. I wanted to tell you on Monday. I'm sorry.
Fine, we'll do the New Yorker.
Well,
New Yorker's
right, better you're not listening to me. McGraw-Hill is not publishing
this
your book.
This sounds like a really gripping film.
Two
guys discussing a book deal for 90 minutes. Richard Gere talking about his publishing contract for
Hollywood's doing great things.
It's hard to believe that theater attendance is down. Oh, wait, I've got my joke for the Hillary Swank. What is the name of that Hillary Swank film?
The Reaping.
This is a 1% joke. It's a Mr. Death. He's come about the reaping. There you go. Ah!
Why not go see The Grindhouse? It opens
the
this
Grindhouse.
Weekend. The director is Quentin Tarantino, and Robert Rodriguez deliver a 1-2 film punch in theaters. Rodriguez says he and Quentin Tarantino wanted their film to spark interest in vintage exploitation films.
So let's make a movie that actually lives up to those posters. So when people see our movie, they'll go, wow, this is what Grindhouse Cinema is. Let's go look at some of these movies and see if we can find the same thing. And then they don't find it because we're giving them the extreme, you know, audience-pleasing version of it. But in those bunch, there are really not only just great moments and scenes, but there are really great movies.
See, we'll have Aaron Duran later on to talk about the Grindhouse, which he saw last week. Let's see, this is Matt. Hi.
Hi, I can't get off the paste and glue thing.
Okay.
When we were kids at school, we would make paste, and it was literally flour and milk.
Yeah, I think we did that too. I think we made homemade paste at one point.
Yeah, so, and then you get a kid say, oh, it's just flour and milk, and so cookies are made out of flour and milk, you know, so.
Do you think that the do you think that the kid who eats a lot of paste in kindergarten is the same kid that later on when you're about 19 through, I don't know, 28 or so, will drink anything you put in front of him at a party? Any drink or any drug that is put in a glass or a mirror in front of him, he will just immediately consume without thinking? I wonder if that's the same kid later on in life.
Well, I don't know, because I didn't eat a lot of paste, but
I do
a lot of other things you put in front of me. So
I didn't whiz myself in class either, but I always seem to be surrounded by kids who did. thank you.
You're welcome.
Matt, there you go. A lot of paste eating talk today. Today was all paste eating. Yesterday was all Jamie Lee Curtis's penis. I don't understand anything about this show most of the time. Do we have to break?
Yes.
Now it's going to be all golf. I swear to God, we're going to come back. We'll talk to Ed McCarthy about the Masters, a little bit more from Tim Riley. We'll talk to Fat Boy from Court and Fat Boy on KUFO. We got the top five later on. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran about Grindhouse and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there.